Hey, I've really enjoyed being with you. This is my last message with you. Are you enjoying being in a castle? I thought I'd tell you my one cool castle story. So one of my friends used to have some kind of influence here at the Glen, and I called him and said, "Are you open for Thanksgiving? My family would like to come down." And he said, "No, we're closed." And so it's okay, and we hung up, and he called me a couple minutes later, and he said, "Hey, Jim, if you promise not to tell anybody, okay, I'm breaking the promise right now. I'll let you have the whole castle to yourself." So my wife and I and our two sons, they were small at the time, we had the whole castle to ourselves. He said, "You can pick whatever rooms you want." And the whole property, there was no one except us and a security guard. And we had some fun hide and go seek. But anyway, it was my cool castle story. As I wrap up, I just want to reach out to the Carriage House. I was with you last night, so I appreciate you. I know you're there. And I see the balcony. I just want to say hi to you guys. So, can I say, I do want to jump in here in a minute, but what an amazing group of staff you have as I've been interacting. And could I just do a little bit of a shout out to all of us staff who are a little bit older, have gray hair? God is still using your lives. Hang in there. College students, there's a movement of God. So anyway, I appreciate the gray hair. Yeah. How cool that you clapped for them, you know. By the way, one of the most beautiful moments for me is, I did not expect this when I shared about Matthew graduating college, how you guys just clapped to God and for God. All right. Today we're going to talk about reaching family and friends for Christ. And I want to ask you, how do you, just honestly, like, don't answer out loud, but in your heart, how are you feeling about this message? Because most people, when they hear a message on evangelism, they're like, "I know it's right, but And I think the speaker's going to ask me to be weird, and I just didn't want to, I wanted to go through my life without being weird, and I have to be weird for Jesus, you know. And so that's my subtitle, just don't ask me to be weird. But can I also take a guess how you feel is that when you think about your family, your friends that don't know Christ, your heart is just broken and you're like, "Yes, please, I want to hear. Give me hope. Give me help." And that's what I want you to hear today is hope and help. Sometimes I've even given a message where on evangelism where people walked away feeling guilt and pressure. I don't want you to feel guilt or pressure. I want you to feel hope and help, and I want you to sense God because He cares about lost men and women more than our deepest hearts. But let me take a cough drop because of my vocal cord damage, and I'll be ready. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you to be weird. You can test me as we go. All right, do you? I want to ask you, on your campuses, do you have those traveling campus preachers come? Do they come to your campus? Sometimes it's good and sometimes not so good. Okay, here was a picture of one of the campus pastors and or preachers. So can I tell you, if you ever find yourself sharing the gospel and you're wearing a white suit like this guy and you're talking to someone and you're in, let me get that, and you're talking to them like this, like that guy is, that's weird. Don't do it. Okay, so now, all right. Ah, good, he's not asking me. I thought that's what you wanted. Here's some of you like outlines, so here's what the outline for those note takers. Prayer from your heart for our family and friends that don't know Christ. Care from your heart and share from your heart. So we'll start with prayer from your heart. So when I got to college, there was an older guy who came over to my residence hall, and he said, "Jim, I'm going to help you learn how to share your faith." And He said, let's invite every single guy on your floor to read the Bible. And I was like, okay, my first reaction was, that's weird. So we went door to door on my floor, knocked on every door. My floor was mostly the football team and the baseball team, and I don't know how I got on there. So we invited all the guys and invited them to read the Bible for half an hour on Monday night. And they didn't seem that interested. And so 7 o'clock on Monday night, we went down to my study lounge, which was on my floor. And at 7 o'clock, guess how many students came? There was about 40 on the floor. So someone actually guessed it. 0. Which is what I would have predicted, because it was weird. And at 7:05, half the floor came. My friend had Bibles and passed them out, and we read John chapter 1 and talked about it. And it didn't feel weird. It felt fun. And so then at 7:30, my friend said, hey, guys, I promised half an hour. So at 7:30, let's do this again next week. Thanks for coming. And like everybody stood up, and one guy said, what do you think about the end of the world? Everyone sat down. And it wasn't weird. And so I started praying that God would lead some of those men to Christ, all of them. And God worked, and some of those men came to Christ. And you know what it taught me as a freshman in college? Is that I don't know about strategies and all that, but I know what I sensed is God heard my prayers. I wasn't the only one praying, and it wasn't me. It was God answering prayer. And what I want to tell you is God cares about your prayers for your lost friends. How many of you have lost family members, that parents, brothers, sisters that don't know Christ? Me too. Can I just, out of curiosity, I can't see into the carriage house, but how many of you are the first Christian in your family? Oh, I'm with you. Yeah. So we're the ones who have to pray the way. And what I've found is God cares about prayers for lost men and women. Have I said be weird? That's not weird. Here's a quote about how Satan feels about prayer. I don't know who to attribute this to, but I like it, so I'm borrowing it from someone. Satan doesn't care if you talk to men about God, as long as you don't talk to God about men. He knows that's the battle. When I became a Christian at 16, with my friends who just raised their hand and said, first one to become a Christian, I was the first one. 7 brothers and sisters, my parents divorced. And I started sharing the gospel with them, and I think I kind of alienated. I wasn't smooth. I was kind of blunt. And God gave me a prayer. And you can take my prayer because God gave it to me. Now I can share it with you because it's from God. And that was, God, I'm going to share the gospel with my family whenever the chance comes. But will you send others to help me? Will you send people, Christians, to my family? Would you like to hear what God did? One of my sisters went to Africa with the Peace Corps. Missionaries in Mali, Africa, led her to Christ. Another one of my sisters moved into an apartment. She didn't realize all her brand new roommates were Christians. They shared the gospel with her. She's swimming in the university pool doing laps. She stops in the pool and receives Christ. One of my brothers was a drug dealer in my high school, and my youth pastor just reached out to Mark, had a heart for him, shared the gospel with Mark. Mark came to Christ. And I became janitor at my church. I was sick one day. I said, Patrick, just go there. I know you've never been in the church. There's a vacuum somewhere. Just push it. While he's pushing it, the pastor's mother stops him and says, Patrick, do you know Jesus? And he said, I don't. She sat down on a pew and led my brother to Christ. The bodybuilder led me to Christ. We're in my room, kneeling next to my bed, praying. my youngest brother walks in. He goes, "Oh, excuse me." And my mic goes, "Hey, Paul, come in here. I have something to share with you." Shares with my brother Paul, and he comes to Christ. I don't know why I did this, but the girl cut my hair as a Christian. And I said, "Hey, would you want to cut my mom's hair?" I had no idea if my mom would want that. She came over, cuts my mom's hair, and leads my mom to Christ during a haircut. But my father, when I would share with him, he would say, "Can a leopard change its spots?" Now, I know that's so old-fashioned that I'm going to have to interpret it for you, because you're like, what? From many generations ago, what that meant was, I can't change. Can a leopard change its spots? No. Can I? No. So it became an impossible prayer. But God answers impossible prayers. And some of you have impossible people. You're like, it's impossible. Because they're telling you no. God started sending Christians into my dad's life, answering a prayer that he gave me, God's prayer. On the morning my dad passed away, I was waking up. It was about 5 o'clock. And the second I woke up, I heard out loud a voice say, "Your father is in heaven with me right now." I said, that was audible. I heard it. Right then, I heard the ding of a text on my phone. Out in the kitchen. I got up, I walked over to my phone, and my brother texted and said, "Dad just passed away." God gave me a gift and told me about my dad's eternity. The leopard changed his spots. God did the impossible. So is prayer weird? No. It's connects to God who cares about lost men and women. And so could if I stopped right now and just said the end of my message is pray for the lost, that's a good thing to be doing. Because it connects the power of God. Okay, so I want to give you some practical ways to live out prayer. I would just start with 3 friends or 3 family members and start praying every day by name for them. And then even better, why don't you get together with a Christian friend and say, "Let's pray for our lost friends and our lost family members." Back on all your campuses as you disperse on Friday. Even better, get a group of Christians. So it starts with you, then a friend, and then maybe a small group. Say, "Let's get together once a week and pray for lost family and friends in our Greek house, or for our residence hall, our campus." Include family members. My guess is right now God's bringing people to your heart to say, "Yes, I'll pray for them." And how long do you pray for them? My oldest son, who I love dearly, has walked away from Jesus. How long do you suggest I pray for Michael? Till my last breath. As long as God gives me breath, I have to pray for Michael. So prayer from your heart. Now let's talk about care from your heart. Years ago, Coca-Cola did this crazy thing where they decided to try to go away from the original formula of Coca-Cola and try New Coke. They called it New Coke. And it didn't go over real well. But one of the Christian groups had a great idea. They decided to do taste tests on college campuses. They set up a table with New Coke, Classic Coke, or, you know, Old Coke, and Cherry Coke, I think. And then they did a little survey, and they, along with the taste test, and they said this question: What comes to your mind when you hear someone say he or she is a Christian? I thought that was really interesting. Would you like to know the results? It's not good. Okay, here goes. Well, the main thing is main classic Coke won. But what I was interested in was the question. So here was their summary of all the surveys they did on three different campuses. Their summary of what people wrote is, Christians are stuck-up people who enjoy hanging out with other Christians to the exclusion of all others. And then their second summary statement was, Christians think they're too good for anyone else. So this is what people were reporting in these surveys. So when I read that, I had two responses, okay? My first response was, am I that person? Were they talking about me? I'm open to any correction. Am I those things? And then the second thought I had is, they would not have said that about Jesus. They would not have written stuck up about Jesus. They would have not said about Jesus, too good for anyone else, because he was hanging out with everyone and the people the religious despised. And like I said the other day, that's what got him in trouble with the religious leaders. The Pharisees. By the way, this is an actual picture of the Pharisees in Jesus' time. One of the disciples took their iPhone, took a picture, posted it on Facebook, and that's how I got it. So they saw Jesus hanging out with tax collectors, who meant they worked with the Romans, with women that they didn't respect, with people who didn't come to the synagogue. And so they started murmuring and saying things about him, and they started insulting him, and then they came up with what they thought was like the worst possible insult they could ever see. I'm going to actually repeat it here. And in Luke 7, just to try to destroy Jesus, here's the horrible insult they called him. They called him a friend of sinners. Now, can I tell you, all of us in this room, if that was the label on our lives, we would consider that precious. May I be a friend of sinners. So I know I mentioned Luke 15 the other day. Now I'll set it up. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And so when I was reading that, just those two verses, I had two questions. And I'm going to share my questions with you. And maybe you can join with me in answering. The first question I had is, because I was curious, all these tax collectors and sinners, they weren't gathering around to hang out with the Pharisees, but they were really interested in hanging out with Jesus. And Jesus was hanging out with them. So I wrote down, why were sinners, remember the Pharisees are calling them sinners. I'm going to tell you what Jesus calls them in a minute. Why were sinners attracted to Jesus? And here's what I wrote down, because Jesus was attracted to them. Can I give you one of the most fundamental rules of life is we're attracted to those who are attracted to us. If you like me, I'm probably going to like you. And Jesus communicated clearly, I like you guys. And they liked him back and wanted to be with him. And then I wrote down a second question is, I'm using the Pharisees' word. Are any sinners attracted to me? Do I do like Jesus says? Or what the Pharisees accused him of? He welcomes sinners and eats with them. Do I welcome sinners and eat with them? I want to. You want to. About 12 years ago, my family and I, we moved from one house and moved, long story, moved to another house, and we were moving in, and the day went on, we're unpacking, and somewhere in the day, in the afternoon, I said to my wife, I said, honey, I'm just a little bit disappointed. No one's come by and said hi. No one's not, I don't know. You know, I wasn't expecting chocolate chip cookies, but something, you know, just say hi. And a little bit after that, a guy in the neighborhood calls me on my phone. We had done some business with printing, and he said, hey, I heard you just moved into my neighborhood. I said, yeah, John, I'm a couple blocks from you. And he said, well, you know, there's a neighborhood pool, and why don't you come down and swim with me? So I hung up the phone. I turned to Lynn. I said, I think this is the first time since eighth grade a guy's invited me to swim with him. Got my towel, went down, swam with John, hung out. And we became friends. And guess what? He's Italian like me. Yeah, Italian New York with Italian Chicago. And we just really just started enjoying each other. And I'd go to his shop, his printing shop, and he'd tease me, yell out to his employees, holy man's here, holy man. I was like, John, not even close, you know. And, you know, we got to the point where we were hugging each other. You know, I don't know, Italians do that. Yeah. Then one day he called me, he said, Jim, it was late into the night, and he calls me, he says, Jim, my brother just passed away in my arms, and I knew his brother. And we just talked. And he said, he goes, Jim, I just love you. I said, John, I love you. And there's people, they just want our love. I'll tell you, I gave John a Bible. I'll tell you that story. So the question is, am I welcoming sinners? Am I eating with them, swimming with them, whatever, whatever it takes? Well, then I asked another question. I think God was just giving me questions. What motivated Jesus to love the people that the religious leaders just didn't even like? And he loved them. And I think it's this verse. Oops. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know, when you go to campus, do the students on campus look harassed and helpless? Do they look like sheep without a shepherd? And you know, when I go to my campus, I feel like my campus is fairly affluent, and they're driving this year's brand new SUV. They have the latest iPhone 20, Google 9, you know. And their shoes, whatever the coolest shoes are, and they don't look harassed and helpless. They have the coolest ski gear, you know. Well, in 2008, I was headed to a conference, and while I was at the conference, I got a pain. Just gonna, if I could bring it into, I'm telling you all my broken stories, but. The pain was unreal. And it started messing with my voice, and it was intense. So I got home. I said, Linda, make me a doctor appointment. I got in, and they started tests, and they said, you need to go to an ENT. And they stuck a tube down your throat, which is just horrible. You know? And like put me to sleep, you know. And the pain got so bad, I was like, at night, I would tell myself, don't panic, because I just wanted to run. It was just so intense. And then my voice was just so garbled, and then it was getting softer, and I all of a sudden had the sense that I'm going to lose my voice, and I don't know if I'll ever speak again. And what was happening is my vocal cords were collapsing, and a virus was destroying them. And they're kind of like two sails on a ship, and mine were just crumbling into two fists, we'll actually wipe one fist. And so I took my sons, who were young at that time, and I literally, this is true, this is what happened. I took the back of their heads, and I brought them to my face because I couldn't talk real loud. And I just said, you know, I may never talk to you again, but please talk to me. I want to hear about your lives. And then it was gone. And then because I couldn't even whisper, because you need a vocal cord to whisper. I couldn't whisper. So I decided I'd still go to campus because I didn't know what to do at home. what was I going to do? You know. So I went to campus and I tried texting students sitting there. So then I would write out questions on a leaf. I actually bought a cool little notebook and I would write. And I handed my question, hoping they would talk a long time. And then sometimes they would reach for my notebook to write back, but I was like, I can hear, you know. I still went everywhere. I'd go to McDonald's and I'd write plain hamburger and hand them the note. The only place that became uncomfortable was the bank. Turns out they don't like you to slide them notes. So you know what happened during that time? My hearing went supersonic. Now, not like actually, but I could hear like I had never heard before. And because I wasn't thinking of anything to say, I knew I wasn't going to say anything. All I could do is listen. And everywhere I went, I listened. And I'm in stores and I'm listening. I'm in restaurants because I still go. I'm on campus and I'm just listening. And I had never listened. Do you know what people talk about? I had no idea. I had no idea. They mostly talk about their sorrows. They mostly talk about what they're afraid about. They talk about their concerns for their children. They talk about their concerns for their marriages. I wasn't eavesdropping. I just heard it. And I started listening and I was like, everyone is harassed and helpless. Everyone's a sheep without a shepherd. They are hurting. So Jesus was right. He saw. He didn't need to lose his voice to hear. He heard. By the way, I'll tell you just a quick miracle story. The speaker last year here, Drew Frazier, came to my campus, spoke at our campus. He goes, you know, this is so sad that Jim can't speak. He said, would all of you be willing to fast on Monday from dawn to dusk and just pray for Jim's voice? They all raised their hand, which touched my heart. One of the guys told me that he didn't go to NAV night. Monday, he's cooking eggs, and his roommates come in and go, what are you doing? We're praying for Jim. He dumped his eggs. And that was the first day I could make a sound. And God gave me my voice back over months, but I'm just so grateful. Here's how this verse says it in the Message. It says, when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. His heart broke. So can I ask you, is this still true about God today? When he looks out over the world, does his heart break? And the answer is yes. So let what breaks God's heart break your heart. People. The souls of men and women. So Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, who bought this property, God led him to, gave him a miracle to buy this. He said this quote about evangelism that's my favorite. It says, soul winners are not soul winners because of what they know, but because of who they know and how well they know him and how much they long for others to know him. I'm for knowledge. I'm for apologetics. I'm for knowing clear, good gospel presentations. But above all, I'm for longing for people to know Christ and knowing the Savior and longing for others to know the Savior. But will you let me bring up a problem? And here's the problem. It's bars versus church. You know, everybody who's not a Christian, they're pretty much in bars 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Christians are in church 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. At least that's what non-Christians think about us, and that's what we think about them. they're just in bars. But we're in church, you know. So how could we ever connect? Because those worlds, it's two different buildings. And the truth is, I worked in a bar. They're not in a bar 20, you know. They were out by one. Even though I worked till four. And you're not in a church 20 hours a day, and they're not in a bar 20 hours a day. So what I did is I wrote down everything that Christians in college do for fun, and then people who don't know Christ, what do they do for fun? So let's look. Here's what I think you do. You have friends over to hang out. You watch movies. You play sports, watch sports, work out. Some of you like to lift. Some run, bike. You like beaches, skiing, mountains, intramural sports. You're on those teams. You drink coffee at cool coffee shops. You study. That's not really fun. But okay, so what do people who don't know Christ, what do they do with their time? They have friends over to hang out, watch movies, play sports, intramural sports, drink coffee. So here's the whole key, and this is not weird. Okay, here's the whole key. Do it together. Just start doing the hang out with friends time with people who don't know Christ. Watch movies and invite people who don't know Christ. Play sports with people who don't know Christ. Work out with friends from class who don't know Jesus. Go to beaches, skiing, and mountains with those who don't know Christ. Get on an intramural sports team with purposely, that's not all Christians. Drink coffee at coffee, etc. That's not weird. That's cool. All right, so here's three ideas to live out care. If you live in a residence hall, I just want to give you this is a physics principle. Just leave your door open. No matter where people are going, like to the water fountain, wherever they're going, if your door's open, then the physics principle just, they'll be sucked right into your room. They're, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, wasn't planning on being here, but I'm here now, you know. I recommend joining an intramurals team. Again, just don't make it all Christians. And invite someone to coffee or a meal or your house. Find something you like to do and then do it with people who don't know Jesus. My son Matthew is the founder of the CSU Ping Pong Club. And who knew when he started that, it just gave him friends galore, especially international students. Turns out ping pong's worldwide. And all these guys from different countries were like, let's play ping pong. That's not weird. Okay, now we're at share from your heart. This is the one you're worried about, but I want to give you hope. And here's my couple thoughts. Is first, believe that people want to hear about Jesus. Tell your story often. Ask if you can pray for them. Ask your friend to read the Bible with you. So first is believe. This is a big step, okay? Believe that people want to hear about Jesus. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, they don't. But I actually brought proof today that they do. Like, I can prove it. Okay, you ready? You did. You wanted to hear about Jesus. So they're the same as you. We're done. Tell your story often. Whenever there's a chance to tell your story, whatever your story is, if you became a Christian at two, tell the story and tell how God's affected your life, whatever your story is, just share your story. People won't, that's the one thing I've seen in today's society is they'll argue with your your facts even, but they won't argue with your story. And then this may, okay, you might be wondering if I'm going into weird, but I don't think this is weird. Ask if you can pray for them. Not right there, you know, hold hands, close eyes, they've never done that before. But can I pray for you? They share a problem with you and you go, you know, faith is very important to me in Christ. And I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'd like to really be praying for you. And I'll ask you again. They'll be like, huh? Pray for me. Nobody else said that. One Sunday morning, I went to the convenience store near our house to get donuts. I had two reasons. One is I thought, we'll have a better chance of getting church on time if I buy donuts instead of make breakfast. And the second reason is I like donuts. So in the store, there was the clerk, there was a woman in front of me, and there was me. And she got her donuts and a newspaper and walked up, and I'm standing behind her. And she's talking to the clerk, and he's wearing a pin. And she goes, what's the pin you're wearing? And he goes, it's a teddy bear pin. She goes, oh. She pays and walks out. So I walk up, and I put down my donuts, and I said, so what's the teddy bear pin about? And he goes, it's for my son who died. I was like, oh. Can I ask you what happened? And first of all, can I just say, I've been coming here on Sunday mornings and I've never even asked your name. I'm Jim. And he said, I'm Steve. And then we just talked for like the next half hour. I think an angel stood outside the door and was like, no donuts, keep walking. Nothing to see here. And we just talked. And at the end, I said, Steve, what can I pray for you? He said, would you pray I have children? I said, I will. You know, every Christmas, his wife just the other day sent me $25 every year. They have two children. And I was back in Illinois speaking at a church. And at the end of my message, Steve starts walking up the aisle. I run down, I hug him. And I grab him, I go, Steve, are you a Christian? That was weird. But I was from my heart, you know. He goes, no, not yet. And so I called the pastor on the way to the airport. And so he go after Steve. He says, I'm on it. But asking someone to pray for them, that's just, you're just making a bridge that faith's important to me. Okay, and then my last thought is, and this is not weird, is to ask a friend to read the Bible with you. I bought John, my neighbor, a Bible. So John, would you read the Gospel of John with me? You know, he didn't know where it was. One day we're at breakfast, and he goes, "I found my favorite verse." And I go, "You have a favorite verse? What is it?" He goes, "It's 4:19." And so I was like, 4:19. I was like, well, John, do you have anything? Like, what do you mean by 4:19? He goes, I said 4:19. I go, well, so I glanced down real quick at the Gospel of John, and 4:19 is you've had five husbands. So that's not it, you know. And so I said, John, were you like at the beginning of the Bible or were you like at the end of the Bible? And he goes, I said 4:19. I said, that's a good one. I was walking off my son's floor, and we had become friends with the students on his floor. And Kevin's blind, and I walked by Kevin, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I mean, literally spoke to me. I said, go back and read the Bible with Kevin. So I turned around, walked back, trying to obey. I said, Kevin, would you be willing to read the Bible with me? He says, yes, I would. I said, okay, will you tell me how this will work? You know, with you being blind. And he said, well, I have a little bit of vision in one corner of my eye. If you'd buy the biggest Bible, and I have this magnifier. And so I went on Amazon, bought a giant print Bible, and brought it to Kevin, and And then we invited this girl on the floor. And seriously, every time I saw her, the only clothes she wore had skulls on them. And I was like, what section of Macy's is that? Yes, could you guide me to the skull section? And so we sat down, and Kevin took this stone, like a big stone, not a magnifying glass, it's a stone. And he put it on the Bible, and he put his, it was one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen in my whole life. And he read the Bible, we would talk. And that wasn't weird. And Kevin came to Christ. By the way, he's married a blind woman now. So it'll give you hope for dating. If a blind man can find a blind woman. Okay, so what did I just say? I went a little bit over, sorry, on time. So I said, pray from your heart, care from your heart, share from your heart. And I tried to give you ideas about how to pray with others for those who don't know Jesus, how to care in practical ways that be fun and relational, and this, to start to share. Is there someone that maybe you could ask to read the Bible with you back on your campus? Let me close in prayer, but I have to say thank you to all of you. You've been so kind to me and my son, the staff, all of you students. It's just been such a privilege to be with you. Oh, Jesus, we have broken people in our lives, our family members that don't know you. Please, Lord, use us on our campuses to reach men and women. All our lives, use us. Lord, I just finished by praying. Here we are. Send us. Get all the glory in Jesus' name.